So we're talking about wind today, so the jokes involve wind. Here you go. What is the favorite color of a gust of wind? Do you all know what it is? Any guesses? It's blue. Get it? The wind blue? Boy, if I have to spell this out. It's actually spelled out on my paper, B-L-E-W. All right, get it? All right, here's the other one. A person asked, do you like renewable energy? The answer was, actually, I am a big fan. There's more. You have to wait. Today we're celebrating the third of three Christian major festivals, and that's Pentecost. The first one is Christmas. You know, we have Advent, that moment in which we await for the time in which Jesus to be born. And the moment Jesus is born, we celebrate that. Because this is God leaving heaven, coming to earth, and dwelling with us as a human in human form. And so the first thing we celebrate is the fact that we have Christmas, God amongst us, God incarnate, filled with a human filled with God. The second we celebrate, major Christian festival, is Easter. Because that human grew up, went to the cross willingly, sacrificed himself for us, so that we wouldn't have to have that sacrifice for our sins, and as a result of that, died on the cross, extending forgiveness to all of us. But Easter isn't about the cross as much as it's about the resurrection. Because on that third day, Jesus rose from the grave, announcing to the world that death cannot win, that sin cannot win, that God wins all the time. And so the second of our major Christian festivals we celebrate is Easter. The third one we celebrate today, some by the wearing of red. I have red on today, I have my red tie on. I don't have a red suit, so I can't wear a red suit, but I do have a red tie. Acknowledging the Holy Spirit moving amongst us. Pentecost is when we celebrate the arrival of the Spirit. So let me tell you a little bit about Pentecost itself. It actually means the 50th. And it's one of the Jewish festivals outlined in the Old Testament. It's the 50th day after Passover. And so they go 7 weeks. So it's 7 times 7. That's a perfect number, by the way. And the next day is the celebration of Pentecost, the 50th day. It was originally meant as a feast moment to celebrate the first harvest. Those first that you would get from the field, that first grain that you would get, you give that back on to God to say thank you for the way in which you've touched our lives. If you're reading the Old Testament, you know, we encourage you to read it throughout, again, this second year, you might have heard it listed as being the Feast of Weeks, because after all, it's 7 weeks. Or the Feast of Booths, like tents, because it's a camping experience. You get in around Jerusalem and you camp out. And you're camping out for this celebrative moment. And that would be the Feast of Booths. As time went on, the Jewish people wanted another moment. So they used this day, Pentecost, to commemorate the giving of the law to Moses. And so those 10 commandments that were handed down from Mount Sinai, they celebrated arrival of those 10 commandments also on Pentecost. Now, I share all that with you, that since this was a major Jewish festival, Jerusalem was packed with God-fearing Jews. People who wanted to come and celebrate the Feast of Booths, or the Feast of Weeks, or Pentecost, whichever name you want to use it by. It's highlighted in Scripture that I read earlier. It says, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews of every nation under heaven. To highlight that, it listed the nations, and there was a massive list of nations. All those in that area and the area beyond. Now, in this conglomeration of people, this grouping that came together to celebrate the first fruits from the field, the arrival of the Ten Commandments, and the first words that God gave to the world around, came a new arrival. A new fruit came the Holy Spirit. In order to create a new entity, in 4 short verses, you know, we talk about Christmas, it takes chapters. Same with Easter. But in 4 short verses, we find the arrival of the Spirit. Verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. When the Spirit comes, you know, strange thing about this, the Spirit in the Old and New Testament has incredible meaning. In the Old Testament, it's Ruach. And in the New Testament, it's Pneuma. Both of them could mean like breath, like Evie mentioned in the children's sermon, breath. And to highlight this, if you have a lung disease, I had this last year, called pneumonia, it comes from that Greek word pneuma, which means you have a problem with your breath, which I did. You might have noticed that one Sunday I preached, I had a problem with my breath. Okay, so in one level, ruach and pneuma mean breath. Interestingly enough, it also can mean wind. You know, the blowing of the wind. Here's your other two jokes. How do you stop your newspaper from flying away in the wind? You use a news anchor. The other one's just as good. What kind of music do wind turbines listen to? They are heavy metal fans. Give it? Get it? Okay, I don't have to explain that to you. So ruach and pneuma have, they mean spirit. They mean breath. They mean wind. And throughout the scripture, this play on words comes out. In Ezekiel chapter 37, God brings Ezekiel to a place and looks out over a field of dry bones. It's a symbolic piece about Israel, how they dried up in when they were in the exile. And God said to preach to the dry bones. Now, interestingly enough, that word there, to, it says prophesy to, you could translate that to the wind, to the breath, or to the spirit. And it's interestingly enough, in the scripture I looked up, New American Standard says, prophesy to the wind, and I will make breath to enter into them. Interesting play on words, same word, two different ways it's used. Jesus did the same thing. When Nicodemus met with him at night, you know, that clandestine overnight meeting, Nicodemus wanted to find what his secret was. How could he draw all these crowds? Jesus was telling him that the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, you do not tell from where it comes. So it is with those who are born of the Spirit. Now, the word for wind and the word for spirit translated, guess what? Same word. It's an interesting concept, what God has done for us. So when the wind came on that first Pentecost, when I read earlier, that violent wind, there was the breath of God in it. Whenever God breathed into that first Pentecost, in the middle of all that was God's Spirit that came in. All of those means that God has arrived in a powerful way. In such a way that it's undeniable that God's Spirit is now in our midst, bringing the breath of life. Now, one of the pieces that we're going to look at in days to come, weeks to come, is what does it mean that this breath of God, this Spirit of God, is in our midst? So that's what we're going to look at the next 2 weeks leading up to Father's Day. Today, I want us to look at the miracle of that first Pentecost. The miracle is this aspect of unification. The Spirit draws us together into one entity for one purpose. You know, each week we say in the Apostles' Creed that we believe in, and the word we use is Catholic Church. Now, we have three sections of the Apostles' Creed. One is Father, you know, Father Almighty, Jesus, and then thoughts at the end. And when we say, I believe in one Catholic Church, we're not talking about the Roman Catholic Church that's down there in Williamsport or the one up there on Virginia Avenue, though we do mean it in a way. The word for Catholic here means universal. Churches of all places, all times, all geography. So when we say, I believe in one Catholic Church, we're really saying, I believe in the miracle of Pentecost. That in all churches of every denomination, of every age, of every geography, there are people who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's what we're announcing. That there's an assembly of believers that exist above and beyond each and every one of our denominations. Now, proof of this is that first Pentecost moment when the Spirit arrived in a great wind. All could hear Peter preach. The boundary or the problem of language was gone. And they could hear him announce to the world that Jesus is the Christ. Now, the amazing piece about this is the scripture that God gave him to share that comes out of the book of Joel. It talks about the end of time. And by all thoughts, folks, when the Spirit arrived, we're at the end of all of God's history. We're in the end of time right now. And what happens is, in that time frame, the Spirit's given to all people, not just people who are called to do that, not just people who God rests upon, but all folks. And in that prophecy of Joel, whether you're young or old, male or female, whether you're rich or poor, slaved or free, you're going to get the Spirit of God. That's a moment of unification. We're all joined together now at a deeper level than our blood. We're joined at the deep level of the Spirit of God. And so as a result of that, the gifts of the Spirit are given so that we can minister to the world around us and we can minister with each and every one of us. That's the miracle of the Spirit arriving on that first Pentecost. It's the Spirit. It's the miracle of the church. Now, for us at St. Andrew, one of the things we talk about is that we're a cradle-to-grave church. And what that means is that we focus on all ages here. That we're concerned not because you're one certain age and we provide one certain thing for you. Oh no, we provide for all ages. From the littlest one all the way up to the oldest one. From the ones who come up to Sunday, up here for children's sermon, and those of you who wouldn't be able to get up from the children's sermon. I got caught in a thought there. That was my fault. Because every Sunday I'm like, I hope I get up. But that's our thought here. What you heard Stacy say earlier, sharing about our director of Christian education, that's our mindset. That we're reaching every age group because every age group is special. Not just one age, not just one group, not just one male or female, not because you're rich, not because you're poor. No, we're reaching everyone because we're a cradle-to-grave church. Our concern is touching all. And the reason for that? We buy into the miracle of Pentecost. We believe in it deeply, that God has provided for us by sending the Spirit. One of the ways we know that, we celebrate on this Pentecost moment, this gift we call communion. In this day, we celebrate that Jesus is risen from the grave, that he went to heaven, and he now seated on God's right hand, and he sent the most powerful entity in the universe to help us. That's the Holy Spirit. And so that Jesus could be here, there, and everywhere all at the same time. That he could bless us in this age and tomorrow and yesterday. Whether you go home or you stay here, the Holy Spirit can be with us. That's what this table tells us. That Jesus invites all to be part of this incredible thing we call the church. Of being able to receive the Spirit. Now when you come to this table, we don't put an income restriction on you. We don't say you have to be so rich to come here. We don't put a class distinction on you. You don't have to be, you know, living in a certain area of the world. We don't say you have to be male. We don't say you have to be female. We don't have to be young or old. Everyone's invited here. The only thing that makes this place special is acknowledgement of where the Spirit comes. That Jesus is our Lord and Savior. That Jesus is the one who sends the Spirit into our midst. And with that, everyone's invited to share in this special moment we call Pentecost, this moment in which the Spirit has arrived. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, wonderful God, for the opportunity to share together as your people, to acknowledge that you sent the Spirit so that we can function in this world, not only with our own problems, but we can help others deal with their issues, that we can do so boldly and at the same time with love. Thank you for the Holy Spirit in our midst. And it's in our Savior's name that we pray. Amen.